is no sign of your intelligence to confirm that all religions are going up the same mountain. You have to deny the fundamental teachings of the religions of the world to come to that conclusion.
Craig Parton, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Religion on Trial, Cross-Examining Religious Truth Claims.
They may all be wrong, but do any of them ask to be tested by the canons of evidence used in the law, science, and history?
Learn more about Religion on Trial at issuesetc.org.
Let's make sure we show up wherever we have to show up. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
That's Congressman Maxine Waters speaking to supporters at a rally Saturday in Los Angeles. She is, well, she's kind of the face of the left's response to the Supreme Court's decision in Masterpiece Cake Shop v. the Colorado Commission on Civil Rights. They say, okay, if Jack Phillips doesn't have to bake a custom wedding cake for a gay couple, then small business owners don't have to serve Trump administration officials. More than that, maybe we should just drum them out of polite society altogether. Go to their houses, keep them from sleeping at night with your protests. Some of her suggestions there. There seems to be a little bit of a double standard when it comes to small business owners on the part of the left, and we should be wary of adopting that double standard on the right as well. Joining us to talk about that, Joy Pullman, managing editor of The Federalist and author of the book The Education Invasion, and a recent column for The Federalist titled The Left Slams Refusal to Join Gay Weddings, Celebrates Restaurants' Refusal to Serve Sarah Sanders. Joy, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Thanks.
You say that there are three very important differences between the situation with Sarah Sanders at the Red Hen restaurant and Jack Phillips and Masterpiece Cake Shop. What are those differences?
Well, the first one is that the Christian artists who don't want to participate in the gay wedding are happy to serve gay people. They are happy to sell them all kinds of things from their shop, anything off the shelf. The only thing they do not want to do that they, you know, think that would violate their conscience is participate in a gay wedding. But they you know, repeatedly stated they are happy to serve gay people. And that is not the same case with the owner of the Red Hen restaurant. She does not want to serve, apparently, people who have a different political affiliation from her, period. You know, there was nothing that Sanders could do that would make this lady serve her. So what, it's a different situation from the Christian bakers where, you know, they're, again, they're happy to serve gay people, just not for that one event. But this restaurant owner was not happy to serve Sanders in any shape or form. And kind of the second difference is that the left has been very aggressive about the way that they carry out their refusals of service. So in the, you know, the Red Hen incident, Sanders went into a meal with her family in a restaurant, and as soon basically as the restaurant found out who she was, they turned her out. You know, they asked her to leave. And this is coming in a week at which there have been actual kind of a physical aggression being done at the homes of President Trump's cabinet secretary, his Department of Homeland Security secretary. There's protesters outside her house screaming at her, banging drums, trying to have her not sleep. I mean, they're literally saying that we don't want you to sleep. The representative from California, a Democrat named Maxine Waters, told a crowd that they should continue to harass public employees so that they cannot show their face, you know, at the mall. Some folks in Florida, Florida's attorney general came out of watching a movie with her family, and some activists surrounded her and were pushing her around and I believe even spitting in her face. So, I mean, none of that sort of aggressive kind of scary behavior had, you know, was at all repeated by the Christian cake bakers or the florists. You know, so for example, if folks have ever heard Baronelle Stutzman, a Washington florist who declined to, you know, create flowers for a gay wedding, this was for a longtime customer of hers. They had a very cordial relationship. It was, you know, I would say, you know, deep friendship. And she said, you know, when she told him that she could not do his wedding, she had tears in her eyes. So you know, that there's a very clear contrast and attitude between someone holding your hands and saying with tears in their eyes, you know, I wish that I could, you know, I love you, I love you as a person, I can't do this thing, versus people, you know, pounding drums outside your house and, you know, spitting on people's faces and so forth. And so the third kind of, and I think this is the deepest difference, is that the left's objections to serving people are political. They don't want to do it because they have different political ideas from people, but Christians' opposition to participating in that act is religious. It's moral. So what we really have is the left kind of inflating the importance of politics and making it be the arbiter of what they think is right and wrong, while in the Christians' case, what they're doing is saying that God, someone outside of themselves, and there's an objective external standard that has determined what is right and wrong, and they, you know, are trying to adhere to that transcendent measure of truth and complying with not themselves, not their personal, you know, political views or whatever else, but it's something that is, again, there's a higher power that is that they are trying to live their life in obedience with. While the kind of left opposition to serving folks has to do with themselves as the arbiter of what is right and wrong.
What has kind of alarmed me about this with regard to the left's call, it's Maxine Waters, but it's not only hers. You have the anecdotal descriptions there, a few of which you shared with us. What surprises me about it is the degree to which it verges very quickly on either violence or threats of violence, not simply trying to annoy someone so they can't sleep, but there doesn't, as David French has recently written in the National Review, there doesn't seem to be any limiting principle on what kind of protest is being called for here of people with whom you disagree politically.
I live in a flyover country out in the Midwest, but I have lots of friends in the kind of the Washington, D.C. area, and I know a couple of folks who work for the Trump administration and have friends and family who do, and everyone is scared, quite frankly. You know, we literally have, you know, elected congressmen calling on their, you know, saying they should not be able to go to the grocery store in peace. They have people outside, folks just like them, their homes, calling them Nazis, calling them, you know, people who hate children and are rounding people up for literally, they're calling it concentration camps. I mean, the rhetoric is so high. I mean, you know, it basically is of the kind that justifies violence. And I mean, for example, just today I read a report from local police in the D.C. area that a senior Department of Homeland Security official found a beheaded animal on his front porch, a beheaded and burned animal. So, I mean, this is right on the edge, you know, at the edge of some extremely scary. I mean, that's already scary, you know, and the next thing really is actual attacks on people. And that's, of course, no decent, you know, person in the country thinks that that ought to happen while we're having what ought to be a good faith discussion about, say, what is the appropriate way to handle people who break our laws? You know, should, you know, parents who have kids be exempt from punishment for breaking our laws? That is a reasonable, rational, completely non-Nazi discussion to be having, but it's cast in those terms, and that justifies frightening behavior.
I want to take slight issue with your third point, and that is that for progressives and the left, this is political, not religious. I think it is religious for them because politics is their religion. What is the god of progressivism? How does that help explain their outrage over these issues?
I think that, I mean, that is a fair point. I mean, from the way that I think of it in my mind is for them, you know, their politics has often displaced their religion. So, but I don't think that so if you don't accept, if you don't have a faith, or if your faith is kind of equal to your politics and doesn't challenge your politics in some ways, I mean, my faith challenges my politics all the time, you know, because I think of my faith is something more important than my politics, right? If they come into conflict, God ought to trump everything else. But for some people, it's very clear that politics, you know, trumps whatever their faith might be in their life, or it does in specific instances. And of course, we all have those sorts of inconsistencies, right? I mean, as we all gradually mature, you know, hopefully we increasingly, you know, get to recognize the contradictions in our own minds and humbly admit that those exist and try to correct them. That's, I hope, a process of being a mature human being. But I guess this is part of the human condition, right? If we're sinners, we're going to resist acknowledging that we were wrong. We're going to resist maybe, you know, looking at some of if our premises are leading us to violence or if we're displacing, you know, God's rightful place with our politics. You know, it is totally human to double down on that. Recently, I saw on Twitter just today, a proprietor of another store had put in her window a statement that she refused to serve anybody who was a Republican or supported President Trump, and she literally said, "My politics is my religion." She called it her religion. Some people would take issue with that, but some people actually wholeheartedly embrace that idea. And again, that's another scary thing, because when politics displaces that kind of universal arbiter, then basically what we're descending into is kind of a power struggle. There is nothing that is outside of us that we all respect and that we ought to conform to in humility. But instead, you know, politics turns into whoever can manage to get the most power, imposing it on other people. And that, I think, is the actual connection to the violence here. Some folks think that if others disagree with them, it is justified to literally browbeat them. And that's the logical end of the progressive philosophy, you know, because without a transcendent source of truth and morality telling you what is right and wrong, and if you are the one instead who gets to decide that, you know, then that gradually leads to, well, the strong beating up the weak.
Joy Pullman is managing editor of The Federalist and author of the book The Education Invasion, and a recent column for The Federalist titled The Left Slams Refusal to Join Gay Weddings celebrates restaurants' refusal to serve Sarah Sanders. You can read it at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Joy, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
In hour two of Issues Etc., we will turn to our series on the Lutheran Confessions, part 14 of our discussion on the Apology of the Augsburg Confession. Today, we will cover the subject of the marriage of priests and get started on a discussion regarding the Mass. Pastor Paul McCain of Concordia Publishing House will be our guest.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Pilgrim Lutheran, Santa Monica, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Trinity Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Pipestone, Minnesota. Real Lutheran Fellowship, Rochester, Minnesota. Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas. St. James Lutheran, Logansport, Indiana. St. John's Lutheran, State Center, Iowa, and Trinity Lutheran, West Chicago, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.